Okay, so get ready because today we are diving deep into Deuteronomy.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not just talking about some dusty old book of laws.
Right.
We're talking about a book that's like a secret code to unlock huge chunks of the Bible.
I like that.
Yeah, we're going to trace how its ideas echo and evolve through different writers and times.
Yeah.
And honestly, you might be surprised to learn that Deuteronomy even influenced how early Christians understood the role of
Oh,
Jesus.
for sure, for
Yeah,
sure.
buckle up.
It's fascinating because Deuteronomy really acts almost like a foundational text
Yeah.
for so much that comes later.
Okay.
It lays out this whole vision of who God is,
Yeah.
how God relates to people, and what it means to live a faithful life.
Right.
And these themes get picked up and debated and reinterpreted in just fascinating ways
Okay.
throughout the rest of the Bible.
So it's like Deuteronomy sets the stage, and then all these other writers are kind of riffing off of it, adding
Exactly.
their own spin.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, one prominent example is how Deuteronomy acts as a sort of prologue
Okay.
to those historical books from Joshua to Kings.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You remember those?
The stories about the conquest of Canaan,
Yeah.
rise and fall of kings, all that
All
drama.
that drama.
Yeah, so much drama.
It's by much.
Okay, but those books, they're full of action, but they can be kind of hard to follow sometimes.
They can.
Like, what's the point of all these
Yeah,
stories?
what are we supposed to learn?
Yeah.
Well, Deuteronomy helps us to understand that
Okay.
it's like a lens through which those stories are judged.
Oh, okay.
The Deuteronomic law, which is basically the legal code presented in the book,
Right.
sets the standard for what it means to be faithful to God.
Gotcha.
And then those historical narratives show us the consequences
Okay.
of either upholding or violating that covenant.
So, like, good kings followed the Deuteronomic law and
Exactly.
bad kings went against it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Take King Josiah, for example.
Oh, yeah.
You remember him, the king who led a major religious revival in Judah? His reforms were praised because they closely aligned with the Deuteronomic law.
Oh, okay. I see. So it's not just like a random list of rules. It's like
Really?
a blueprint for how to live in right relationship with God and build a just society.
Precisely.
Okay.
And when kings strayed from that blueprint, things tended to go downhill.
Of course. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
But Deuteronomy's influence goes beyond just the kings, right?
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
we see its fingerprints all over the prophets, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The prophets are constantly drawing on Deuteronomy's themes and language,
Okay.
especially those fiery prophets like Hosea and Amos.
Oh, yeah, Hosea.
Yeah.
He's an interesting one.
He is.
I mean, this prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel, he has some striking similarities to Deuteronomy, but he's also got that whole thing about marrying a prostitute,
Right.
which seems a little out there.
Yeah, a little extreme.
Yeah.
It is a powerful image. And both Hosea and Deuteronomy, they use really strong imagery to get their points across.
Yeah, okay.
But they both emphasize God's enduring love for his people, even when they stray.
Okay.
They use the Hebrew word hesed
Okay.
to describe this love, which is more than just warm, fuzzy feelings.
Oh.
It's this deep, covenantal love, a love that's committed and steadfast no matter what.
So even though Israel was messing up,
Yeah.
God was still like, nope, I'm sticking with you.
Exactly. Hosea's marriage to a prostitute is this really vivid way
Yeah.
of symbolizing God's persistent love for his people, even when they're being unfaithful.
Wow.
And this idea of God's unwavering commitment to the covenant
Yeah.
is a central theme in Deuteronomy as well.
Okay.
But both Hosea and Deuteronomy also deliver some pretty strong warnings
Okay.
about the consequences of turning away from God.
Right.
They both warn against mixing with other cultures and worshiping other gods, highlighting how special and unique Israel's relationship with Yahweh is supposed to be.
It's like they're both saying, look, there's only one true God, and you
Right.
better be loyal.
And you better be loyal.
But it's not all doom and gloom, is it?
No, it's not.
There's also this glimmer of hope, this possibility of coming back to God.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Both Hosea and Deuteronomy, while condemning disobedience,
Yeah.
also offer a way back through repentance
Okay.
and a return to the covenant.
So it's like tough love.
Yeah.
Like, I'm disappointed in you,
Right.
but I still love you, and there's a way back.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
And this idea of repentance, return, and restoration, those are key themes that echo throughout both texts.
Now, what about Amos?
Yeah. Amos.
He seems to bring a different kind of fire to the prophetic party.
He does.
I mean, this guy was a shepherd before he became a prophet.
Yeah, humble shepherd.
Yeah, and he's got this real passion for social justice.
He does, and this concern for social justice connects directly to Deuteronomy's concern for the poor and vulnerable. Remember, the Deuteronomic law isn't just about rituals and sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
It's about living out your faith in a way that impacts society.
So it's about actually doing something to help those in need, not just talking about it.
Exactly. Really. And Amos picks up on this thread, fiercely condemning those who exploit the weak.
Right.
And echoing specific laws found in Deuteronomy about fair treatment of workers, providing for widows and orphans, and making sure that justice is accessible to all.
Wow. So it's like Amos is saying, hey, are you actually living this out?
Yeah.
Because what I'm seeing is a far cry from what God demands.
Exactly.
It's interesting how both Amos and Deuteronomy offer hope even in the midst of their rebuke, right? It's not just about pointing fingers. It's about calling people back to a better way of living.
You're right. That possibility of turning things around.
Yeah.
Of finding forgiveness and starting anew. Mm-hmm. That's a powerful theme that runs through both texts.
Okay. So we've got Hosea with his message of enduring love. Amos with his passion for social justice.
Yeah.
And they're both drawing on Deuteronomy to make their points.
Uh-huh.
What about some of the other prophets?
Yeah.
Are we seeing similar patterns?
We are Micah, for example, another prophet who was active in Judah.
Mm-hmm.
He focuses on how the leaders in Jerusalem were preying on the poor.
And that seems to clash with Deuteronomy's vision of leadership, right?
It does.
I mean, Deuteronomy emphasizes that the king is supposed to be among his brothers,
mm-hmm.
not some high and mighty tyrant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy downplays the king's power.
Okay.
And Micah is calling out that gap between this ideal and the reality of corrupt leaders who exploit their positions for personal gain.
It's almost like Micah is waving Deuteronomy in their faces and saying, hey, remember what this book says about leadership?
Right.
This ain't it.
This is not it.
So we've got Hosea, Amos, and Micah. Are you starting to see a pattern here?
Absolutely. What's fascinating is how each prophet takes these core themes from Deuteronomy and applies them to their specific historical context and audience.
So it's not just mindless repetition.
No.
It's like they're taking the DNA of Deuteronomy and adapting it to new situations.
Precisely. They're showing how relevant and adaptable these core ideas about God, justice, and covenant are.
Okay.
Even in the face of different challenges and circumstances.
So let's talk about Isaiah.
Okay.
He's another one who really stands out.
Mm-hmm.
He rails against empty rituals, saying God desires genuine action.
Yeah.
And a changed heart.
That sounds familiar.
That sounds pretty familiar, right?
It does. Isaiah is echoing Deuteronomy's emphasis.
Okay.
On remembering God's actions and responding with genuine love and obedience.
So it's not about going through the motions.
Yeah.
It's about a transformed heart that leads to transformed actions.
Exactly. It's not about checking off the boxes.
Right.
It's about a change on the inside that then leads to a change in how you live.
It's like you can't just show up and offer sacrifices if your heart's not in it.
Right.
God wants the whole package.
The whole package.
And then there's that chilling comparison Isaiah makes between Jerusalem and Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, yeah.
Those wicked cities from Genesis that got wiped off the map.
Right. Fire and brimstone.
Yeah. That connects to the warnings of destruction found in Deuteronomy, too, right?
It does.
Okay.
Both texts use this imagery of a land laid waste as a consequence of turning away from God.
It's like they're both saying, if you keep going down this path, this is what you have to look forward to.
Yeah.
Not a pretty picture.
Not a pretty picture at all.
Now, Jeremiah, he seems to have a more, let's say, nuanced view of the covenant.
Okay.
He doesn't shy away from the tough stuff.
No, he doesn't. You're right.
Yeah.
Jeremiah highlights that God's covenant, while based in love, is not unconditional.
Right.
And this echoes Deuteronomy's clear stipulations for blessings and curses. Based on obedience or disobedience.
Right. Deuteronomy lays it out pretty straight. Follow the law, receive blessings.
Uh-huh.
Disobey, face consequences.
Yeah, we put you so.
Yeah, Jeremiah seems to be building on that.
Mm.
Emphasizing that God's love doesn't negate the need for human responsibility.
Right. There are consequences for our choices.
And there's this really interesting detail in Jeremiah where he blames the exile.
Oh, yeah.
You remember when the Babylonians conquered Judah and took many of its people captive on neglecting the Sabbath rest?
Yes, the Sabbath.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
Like, not taking a day off caused all that?
Well, Jeremiah makes that connection.
Aww.
And it ties back to Deuteronomy's Sabbath laws and the idea that even the land itself needs rest.
So it's not just about people needing a break.
Right.
It's about respecting the rhythms of creation,
mm-hmm.
recognizing that even the land needs time to be restored.
Yeah, to lie fallow.
Wow. That adds a whole new layer of meaning to those Sabbath laws.
It does. It speaks to a holistic understanding of the covenant,
mm-hmm.
where caring for the land is part and parcel of caring for your relationship with God.
Okay, so we've covered the historical books.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about some major prophets. But Deuteronomy's influence doesn't stop there, does it?
Not at all. We see its fingerprints in the wisdom literature, like
yeah.
Proverbs.
Okay.
And, of course, in the New Testament as well.
Okay, we need to dive into that.
We do.
We've just scratched the surface here.
Yeah, just the tip of the iceberg.
Okay, so let's pick this back up in part two of this Deuteronomy deep dive.
All right, sounds good.
You ready to keep going?
Absolutely. It's a fascinating journey tracing the influence of this incredible book.
Yeah, I'm excited to keep going too.
All right, let's do it. All right, so let's shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
And explore how Deuteronomy echoes through the New Testament.
Okay.
It's remarkable how much those writers drew on it.
Yeah.
Almost as though they saw it as a key to understanding how God's plan was unfolding throughout history.
Okay, so we've got Deuteronomy, this ancient book of law, all about covenants and commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And then centuries later, we've got the New Testament talking about Jesus and this whole idea of a new covenant.
Right.
How do those two pieces fit together? It seems like a pretty big jump.
It is a big jump,
yeah.
And yet there are some fascinating connections.
Okay.
One of the most striking is how Jesus himself uses Deuteronomy.
Oh, really?
Think back to the story of his temptation in the wilderness.
Okay, yeah.
Each time Satan tempts him, Jesus quotes directly from Deuteronomy to resist.
Oh, wow. You're right. It's like he's using Deuteronomy as his weapon against temptation.
Exactly.
Showing us how to stand firm in our faith, even when things get tough.
Exactly. And it goes beyond those moments of testing.
Okay.
Jesus' entire ministry can be seen as fulfilling the promises and prophecies found in Deuteronomy.
Mm-hmm.
Some scholars even suggest that Jesus is portrayed as a new Moses figure.
A new Moses.
Yeah.
Isn't that pushing it a bit?
Well,
I mean, Moses parted the Red Sea and received the Ten Commandments. That's a tough act to follow.
It's a bold claim, but there are some compelling parallels.
Okay.
Think about the Sermon on the Mount, that pivotal moment in Matthew's gospel.
Right.
Where Jesus is up on a mountain delivering this powerful message about the kingdom of God.
Mm.
Deliberately echoing the scene of Moses delivering the law from Mount Sinai.
Okay, I see what you're saying. It's like Jesus is bringing a new law.
Right.
A new way of living that builds on the foundation of the old covenant.
Precisely. It's not that Jesus is abolishing the law.
Okay.
Instead, he's revealing its true heart and intent,
mm-hmm.
showing how it's meant to shape our inner lives, our thoughts, our motivations, our deepest desires,
right.
not just our outward actions.
That makes me think of the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
He was a real stickler for following the law before his dramatic encounter with the risen Jesus.
He was.
So how does he reconcile his Jewish background with this new Christian faith that seems to be moving beyond the old system of laws?
Yeah, Paul's wrestling with this very question throughout his letters.
Okay.
He acknowledges the significance of the law, but also points out how ultimately it's insufficient to save us.
Because, let's be honest, nobody can perfectly follow all those rules, right?
Yeah.
We all fall short.
We all fall short.
So what's the point, then, if the law can't save us?
Yeah.
Does it just become irrelevant?
That's where Paul gets really interesting.
Okay.
He doesn't just discard the law.
Okay.
He sees it as pointing us to Christ, as preparing the way for the ultimate fulfillment of God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the law was the first act, and now with Jesus, we've moved on to the main event.
So instead of trying to earn our salvation by perfectly following the rules, which we can't do,
right.
we're supposed to find it through faith in Jesus.
That's a great way to put it. And for Paul, this new way of living through faith doesn't mean we just ignore all the teachings of the law.
Okay.
Instead, he says the essence of the law is summed up in love.
Oh, wow.
He famously writes in Romans, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law."
Wow. So it's not about checking boxes or making sure we're doing all the right rituals.
Well,
it's about living a life characterized by love, just like Jesus did.
Exactly. And this connects back to Deuteronomy's emphasis on loving God with all your heart, soul, and strength.
Mm-hmm.
For Paul, this love finds its ultimate expression in Christ, who loved us enough to sacrifice himself for our sake.
That's pretty beautiful when you think about it. Deuteronomy lays the groundwork for understanding God's love.
Mm-hmm.
And then the New Testament shows us how that love is fully revealed in Jesus.
That's a great way to summarize it. And this theme of love being expressed through action is echoed throughout the New Testament.
Okay.
Think about the book of James, where he talks about how faith without works is dead.
Right. It's that whole actions speak louder than words idea. You can't just say you believe, you have to actually live it out.
Precisely. And this echoes Deuteronomy's call to not just hear the words of the law, but to actually do them, to make them a reality in your everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Both Deuteronomy and the New Testament writers seem to be on the same page here.
Yeah.
Urging us to move beyond empty words or rituals and actually embody our faith in tangible ways.
This has been amazing. We've seen how Deuteronomy's ideas about covenant law and love are echoed and reinterpreted throughout the New Testament.
Right. It's pretty remarkable.
But the story doesn't end there, does it?
It doesn't. Deuteronomy's influence goes way beyond the pages of the Bible.
Oh, wow.
Its themes and ideas have permeated Western thought and culture in countless ways.
Okay.
Shaping our understanding of law, justice, ethics, and even our relationship with the environment.
Okay, now that is a big claim.
It is.
We need to unpack that.
We do, because Deuteronomy's legacy is truly remarkable.
Okay, so let's dive into that in part three of our Deuteronomy deep dive.
All right.
You ready for the grand finale?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's see how this ancient book continues to shape our world today.
Okay, so we've journeyed through the entire Bible, tracing these themes of Deuteronomy and how it's shaped the way people understand God, their relationship with God, and how they're supposed to live. But it sounds like this book is even bigger than that.
It really is. Deuteronomy's influence goes way beyond religion.
Okay.
And has seeped into the very fabric of Western civilization.
Wow.
Shaping everything from legal systems to social movements to how we understand our place in the natural world.
All right, I'm hooked. Give me some concrete examples. Where do we see Deuteronomy's fingerprints in, like, everyday life?
Well, let's start with the concept of law itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Deuteronomy lays out this incredibly detailed legal code
mm-hmm.
that tackles not just religious rituals,
right,
but also social issues, economic fairness, how to treat the poor and vulnerable, and even environmental protection.
Okay.
This idea of law as a framework for creating a just and well-ordered society.
Yeah.
It's had a profound impact on Western legal traditions.
So are you saying that something like the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
Those basic moral principles that are so fundamental to Western civilization
mm-hmm.
are actually rooted in Deuteronomy?
Exactly. Those core principles which have resonated across cultures and centuries.
Right.
They find their origins in the book of Deuteronomy. They've informed and shaped modern concepts of human rights, due process,
yeah,
and the rule of law in countless societies.
And it's not just about laws and punishments, right?
Right.
Deuteronomy also talks about caring for the poor, protecting the vulnerable.
Yes.
Making sure justice is available to everyone, not just the powerful.
You're hitting on another crucial point. Those social justice themes that are so prominent in Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
They've resonated with reformers and activists throughout history.
Okay.
Think about the movements for civil rights, economic equality, environmental stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
All of these draw inspiration from Deuteronomy's call for a just and compassionate society.
So it's like Deuteronomy is this wellspring of ideas that people keep coming back to, finding fresh inspiration to work for a better world no matter what the issue is.
Precisely. And it's not just about high-minded principles.
Okay.
Deuteronomy constantly emphasizes the importance of putting your beliefs into action.
Yeah.
Of actually doing something to make a difference in the world. It's a call to embody your faith.
Right.
Not just talk about it.
Right. It's not enough to just talk the talk. You have to walk the walk.
Exactly. And that call to action has resonated with people across cultures and centuries.
Wow.
From ancient prophets to modern day activists.
Okay. But you mentioned something earlier about Deuteronomy shaping how we understand the environment.
Yes.
I'm curious about that. How does an ancient book about laws connect to modern environmental concerns?
Well, Deuteronomy presents this fascinating concept of the land as a gift from God.
Okay.
Something to be cherished and cared for.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a resource to be exploited.
Right.
But something sacred. Something entrusted to human beings to steward responsibly.
Okay.
And this idea is reflected in specific laws about letting the land rest every 7 years, about not cutting down fruit trees during war, about treating animals with compassion.
So it's like Deuteronomy is presenting an early form of environmental ethics thousands of years before anyone was talking about climate change or sustainability.
Exactly. And these ideas rooted in Deuteronomy have had a profound influence on modern environmental movements, inspiring people to advocate for sustainability conservation and a more harmonious relationship between humanity and the natural world.
It's mind-blowing to think that this ancient book, written in a completely different time and context, still has so much to say to us today about how we live, how we treat each other, and how we relate to the world around us.
It really speaks to the enduring power of these core ideas. Justice, compassion, responsibility. These are timeless values that transcend any particular era or culture.
Before we wrap up, I have to share this anecdote that I came across in James Meissner's novel, The Source.
Oh, yeah.
It's about these archaeologists, one American, one Israeli, who are digging in the Holy Land.
Oh, I love that book. It so beautifully captures those layers of history and faith that are woven into that region.
Right. So at one point, the American archaeologist is like, why would anyone even bother reading Deuteronomy? It's just a bunch of outdated rules.
Right.
But the Israeli archaeologist is like, whoa, hold on. When I read Deuteronomy, I hear the voices of my ancestors. This book is the foundation of our identity.
Powerful.
He challenges the American to read Deuteronomy four times and then come back to talk. And guess what? The American actually does it. And by the end, he realizes that this seemingly obscure book is at the heart of both Jewish and Christian belief.
That's such a perfect illustration of Deuteronomy's power and reach.
Yeah.
It's not just a historical document or a religious text. It's a source of living ideas that continue to shape and inspire us, whether we realize it or not. It's truly remarkable.
It is. And that's what I love about these deep dives.
Yeah, too.
We get to unearth these hidden connections and see how these ancient texts are still relevant to our lives today. What stood out to you most in our exploration of Deuteronomy? What are you going to explore further? Think about it, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.